Now, the author joining me on the yellow couch today is doing so virtually and across the time zones because she's actually on the line to us from Austin, Texas, where it's only 6 o'clock in the morning or so. So the first thing I have to say to Lara Prescott is that I hope there is a cup of coffee at hand. And thank you so much for getting up early to chat to us today, Lara. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Hi, Pippa. Yes, I do have my coffee, and thanks for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you guys.
We're really looking forward to the conversation. Just by way of introduction, let me tell you that Lara is the author of a novel called The Secrets We Kept, which deals with the story behind the publication of the famous Boris Pasternak novel, Dr. Zhivago. And as you might expect, it deals a lot with the former Soviet Union and its gulags and life under communist rule. What you might not expect, though, is that it is also a story of American spies and the role they played in getting this book out to the world. I read The Secrets We Kept cover to cover in a single weekend. I loved the characters that you brought to life so vividly, Lara, especially the women, and we're going to talk about them. But before we do that, we've got to talk about Cape Town, because I believe you've actually got quite a connection with our city.
Yes, I love Cape Town. It's one of my favorite places in the world. I studied there when I was in college in 2001. And I also returned for my honeymoon a few years later because I love it so much. I studied international politics in Cape Town in Namibia, and I just fell in love with the city and its history and its culture, and I really hope to come back soon, someday.
We'll look forward to conversations with you in studio when you do that, Lara, because I'd love to hear your insights on our city, having watched you immerse yourself into foreign locations so effectively in this book. Anybody who's read or seen the movie of Dr. Zhivago may well have spotted something about your name, Lara. They'd be right to be curious, but I'm right in saying that you are actually named after the heroine of the novel, aren't you?
I am. My mother was a huge fan of Boris Pasternak's book and the David Lean 1965 film adaptation. So they named me Lara, and I grew up watching the movie and then finally read the book when I was a teenager. So it's been a part of my life since day one.
Okay. How did it feel when you finally read the book? Was it love at first read? Did you fall in love with the story? Did you fall in love with the sense of place that it created?
Absolutely. I think going into it as a teenager, I was most interested in the love story, the tragic love story of Dr. Zhivago. I think is one of the greatest romances of all time. And so I was really focused on Lara and Yuri and what their lives are like. And I immediately fell in love with the novel and had proceeded to read it every few years and take something different away from it each time I read it. When I was an adult, I looked more towards what Boris Pasternak was saying about the times and about the revolution, and looking more at it from why this book was something that was banned in the Soviet Union.
Yeah. Now, the novel is partly about the relationship between the author Boris Pasternak and his lover Olga, who inspired the character of Lara to a large degree. But it is also about the mammoth task of getting this book published in the first place. Because even while he was busy writing it, word had got out that Pasternak was working on a piece that would be deemed anti-Soviet. And he was under immense pressure to abandon the project, wasn't he, Lara?
Absolutely. Even during the time when he was writing it, it took almost a decade for him to write. They pressured Olga Ivanskaya, who was his real-life mistress and his muse for the character of Lara. They pressured her by sentencing her to hard labor in the gulag, hoping that Boris Pasternak would stop writing the novel. But he continued on. And, you know, even up until publication, there was extreme pressure on him to put the work down, but he kept going. And the CIA soon caught word of it and decided to use it as a weapon during their Cold War.
Now, this is the most fascinating part of this book, is the story then of how it comes to be published. Because, as you say, it's not just about someone writing a manuscript and sending it to a publisher. He couldn't do that within Russia. Mm-hmm. Pasternak had to smuggle it out of Russia. And as you then say, the CIA took the decision to smuggle it back into Russia so that the Russians could read it. How did you first discover that intriguing element to the story? Because it certainly wasn't public knowledge.
No, and so this had been a long-standing rumor that the CIA had this role in printing and smuggling it back behind the Iron Curtain, but it wasn't confirmed until around 2014 when the CIA officially released its redacted documents detailing its role in this Zhivago mission. And it was when I first read those documents, there's about 100 of them, you can read them online, I was really inspired to fill in those redactions and the blanks left in the documents with fiction.
Okay, and that is what you have done, the result being the novel, The Secrets We Kept. As you pointed out, it's one part of the story was getting the book out of Russia to be published at all. That was done via an Italian publisher. You then have these extraordinary scenes of, and I don't know how much is fictionalized and how much is factual, of spies literally photographing the book page by page so that it could be translated back into Russian and sent back to Russia. I mean, it sounds bizarre, but of course, Laura, for us in South Africa, it doesn't sound bizarre. We've grown up in an age where books were banned and freedom of thought was suppressed and books were viewed as dangerous things. I love the fact that you used the word making a weapon out of this novel, because really that's what the CIA tried to do. They wanted to weaponize Dr. Zhivago. What was it about the novel that they found potentially useful as a political tool?
I think Boris Pasternak's views that groupthink is a bad thing and that individuals should have the right to think and feel and love for themselves and not always fall under what the party wants you to. And I think at its core, that's what Boris Pasternak is saying in Dr. Zhivago, and that's what's so subversive about it. And yeah, you're right. I think books are still being used as weapons or being used, thought of as dangerous entities, as they are still being banned and challenged even today across the world. You know, you have countries in China and Turkey that are still heavily censoring authors. And as you said, in South Africa, it's a recent phenomenon as well.
Yeah. To what extent did it work for the CIA? Because, I mean, there's this wonderful sort of trickling effect in your book of how these little copies of Dr. Zhivago are smuggled back into Russia and circulated quietly, you know, with the covers ripped off and in bits and pieces, literally. It would be many, many years before it could be published and openly read in Russia. In the interim, did it work as a weapon of propaganda?
I think that the CIA was in it for what they call the long game. And so they used these forms of soft propaganda not to possibly inspire revolution overnight, but to plant the seeds that something might be wrong with the way the government is telling us to live. And maybe someday that flourishes into people standing up against the government. But it was never a one-shot deal kind of thing with the CIA. So I definitely think they thought this was a success. I think they think it was one of the major successes of their books program, of which they smuggled up to 10,000 books and pamphlets into the Soviet Union during its run. I think that, especially after Boris Pasternak won the Nobel Prize for Literature and was forced to turn it down by the state, it was a huge public nightmare for the Soviet Union, and I think the CIA was probably congratulating themselves over it.
The voice of women is so strong in this book, Laura, and I know you drew on a huge number of actual historical resources and a great deal of travel and research, among the sources being the writing of Olga Ivinskaya, Pasternak's muse, who, as you said, was sent to the gulags twice because of her connection with him. Hers is a voice that history hasn't really recorded much in the telling of his story. What was it that made it so important to you to amplify it as you've done in this novel?
I just think always I've been more attracted to women's stories. And even if there is a famous man in the spotlight, I've always kind of changed my gaze and saw who is behind that man. And Olga was definitely one of them. Reading her autobiography, A Captive of Time, was one of the first things I did after reading about the CIA's mission. And hearing in her own words all the things she went through, going to the gulag not once but twice, for the man she loved, I just knew that I had to bring her life into my book as well. But on the CIA side, I was more interested in these women spies who worked at the early CIA. And even though their names are not known, I think that their stories deserve to be told as well.
Well, I love the way you told them, and I just want to share, if I may, a brief quote from the book, a description of Sally, who is one of the two primary female spy characters in the book. And let me just share to you how Laura describes her, how other women view her. She never said sorry or please or just a thought. She spoke how the men spoke, and they listened. Not only that, but she scared the hell out of a few. Her perceived power may have come from the tightness of her skirt, but her real power was that she never accepted the role men assigned her. They might have wanted her to look pretty and shut up, but she had other plans. She is the most glorious feast of a character, Lara. How much of her is real? Is any of it inspired by actual female spies, or is she completely a figment of your imagination?
Oh, thank you so much. I'm happy to hear Sally resonated with you. She's one of my favorites. She is actually, she's inspired by a few women that I did research on who had fought in World War II in the OSS, which was the precursor to the CIA, and eventually transitioned over to the CIA and were given roles behind the desk or clerical work, whereas during the war, they were on the front lines. And so I was reading about women like Betty McIntosh and Virginia Hall, and even Julia Child, the famous French chef, she was also one of these women. And so reading about them and their lives and what it was like to transition from, you know, being such a central part into a secondary role is something that inspired Sally for sure. But she is a character of my own imagination as well.
Okay. And I must also mention Irina, who is another one of the female secretaries turned spy working for the CIA. These are women who you allow to make choices that are unconventional, that would have been challenging for the time. Irina walks away from an engagement that would have been deemed socially perfect for her and is brave enough to forge another path. I mean, they make wonderful, brave, bold decisions. And they're given a sort of a level of agency that at some level, Olga is denied because of where she finds herself located behind the Iron Curtain. I love that sort of comparison of the two. You mentioned Pasternak being awarded the Nobel Prize and being forced to turn it down. They say history is written by the victors. He went from victor to victim and I think back to victor again as times changed in Russia. I know you traveled to Russia and researched extensively there. How is his legacy viewed today in Russia and the legacy of Dr. Zhivago?
I did. I had the fortunate opportunity to go to Moscow and Perudelkino, which is the writer's village where Pasternak lived during the first draft of my writing of The Secrets We Kept. And he is revered there. It's funny because he is still primarily known as a famous poet, which he was. He was one of the most famous living poets in the Soviet Union. But I think people in the West always view him as the novelist, the person who wrote Dr. Zhivago. But he has a long backstory of his poetry, which inspired so many people. And he is revered. I'm not sure if he's reached the same heights as a Pushkin or a Chekhov, but you know, his legacy still lives on.
What was it like for you, having spent so much time immersed in this story and this book and his life and Olga's life, to actually walk the streets they walked and to visit the Dasha where he did some of his writing and visit his gravesite? What did that mean to you, Lara, personally?
It was amazing. I went with my husband, and it was in March, and it was snowing, and we got off a train. So Perudelkino is about a 20-minute train from Moscow, and we got off the train and walked through the village and down the path that Boris would have walked and up the hill to where he lived and saw the land where he would have had his garden. And something about being there was just so moving to me, and seeing where he was buried, that it's just an experience I'll never forget. And so much of that, the feeling and what it felt like to walk in the snow and smell the air and see the trees, I think made its way into the novel.
Final question, Lara, is where to now? Because this almost feels like a ghost you've had to exorcise from your own personal story. Has it left you feeling, I've done it, I'm done with the story of Pasternak and the influence of Dr. Zhivago on my own life, and I'm free to move on to other work now? Or are there still threads of the story that you want to chase?
I think right now I'm going to move on, but I, just like Margaret Atwood in The Testaments, I will never rule out writing something else with these wonderful characters. I think it's amazing what she's done, and other authors like Elizabeth Stroud, and revisiting characters they've written about years before. So I'll never say never, but I think the next project might be a different place.
Wherever it may take us, I look forward to going there with you. Lara Prescott, thank you so much for your generosity of time. Thanks for getting up early to chat to us, and hope it's a beautiful day for you back in Texas.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Lara Prescott is the author of The Secrets We Kept, published by Penguin Random House. And thanks so much to the publishers for supplying a copy for us in preparation for this interview. It is retailing in stores now at around about 290 Rand a copy. Even if you've never seen the film, as I have not done, even if you've never read the book, it is worth picking up a copy of The Secrets We Kept. It does not matter if you're not familiar with the story of Dr. Zhivago. You can enjoy it as a separate entity, and I suspect you will enjoy it as much as I did.